الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رب صائم ليس له من صيامه الا الجوع ورب قائم ليس له من قيامه الا السهر صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama ikram and brothers, we had mentioned last week how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had encapsulated the contents of the month of Ramadan in the hadith that he mentions in the last night of Shaaban. Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has highlighted many aspects of this Mubarak month, what the month is all about, and the ordinance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, orders of Allah regarding this month. And we had mentioned that he had mentioned the fasting as being ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know that this is one of the pillars of Islam, to fast in the month of Ramadan. But as I had mentioned last week, it's very unique. If you look at this way it was obligated upon this ummah, if you look at the text of the Holy Quran with regard, and if you refer it to the other ordinance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we find it's a great difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tell us that fast for the month of Ramadan. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, read the salat, carry out your hajj, give zakat, wa aqimu salah wa atu zakah, explicit, to the point, straightforward, brief, concise, the order is given. But when it comes to fasting, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. A whole lot of concessions, a whole lot of orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us, a whole lot of motivation here in the verses of the Holy Quran to make it easy for us to fast in the month of Ramadan. Because it is mentioned that fasting is unique. One hadith is mentioned that fasting is a door of all other ibadat. Fasting is a door of all other ibadat. And this is something that we witness every year in the month of Ramadan. Out of the month of Ramadan, extremely difficult to read two extra rakats, to make a little bit of extra tilawat, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to engage in other forms of ibadat. But in the month of Ramadan, a person who sometime, Allah forbid, doesn't read namaz throughout his life, but the month of Ramadan, you'll find him engaging upon nafil, engaging in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different forms, recitation of the Holy Quran, tilawat of the Holy Quran, etc. There's the barakah of the fasting. That's why fasting, according to one hadith, is a door to all other ibadat. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly tells us, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings in another sentence, like it was prescribed to the people before you. Because in fasting, normally we know inherent quality of a human being to eat and drink and to leave out those things that are absolutely legal and permissible for 11 months, we are being prohibited here. So there's an apprehension, there's a fear, not knowing whether we'll be able to carry this out. It's against our normal routine, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles us and tells us, كَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Like it's prescribed upon you, it's prescribed upon the people before you, and they had carried it out. So this won't be as difficult as you imagine, though it's against your daily routine. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made this in a form of ibadat for the people before us as well. Some commentators are of the opinion, this is to highlight the importance of fasting. It's not only unique for you, but even to the people before you. Some say all the nations before you, fasting was prescribed upon them as well, though in different forms or different periods, etc. But to highlight the importance of fasting on this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one word tells us, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The incentive here for fasting is this, that you may become pious. You may be a person who will be able to exercise self-restraint, self-control, self-discipline, which is the basis of our deen. The person has full discipline when it comes to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to the prohibitions from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person is disciplined, under no circumstances does he transgress the path of obedience. Does he fall prey to the forbidden things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told him? No. He's completely disciplined, he's self-controlled, and he knows when to engage in an activity and when not to engage in the activity. Some ulama of the opinion that this is a potential. By fasting, this taqat and qudrat and istidad and capacity is created in the person to abstain from evil and to carry out the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the basis of taqwa. Some again say that there is a continuous consciousness. Person reading namaz, he reads his namaz for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, and thereafter he gets engaged in other activities. But the person who is fasting, though he may engage in other activities, but in his mind at all times, he is not unaware of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is conscious of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why under no circumstances is he prepared to break this fast. From the morning right up to the evening, it has not for a moment, even for a single second, forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me and take the sip of water or eat and drink, etc. He's ever conscious while he goes around doing his other activities, mundane activities. At the same time, he's ever conscious of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the basis of taqwa, that piety, a person is ever conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, Allah is fully aware, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows my condition, and because of that he restrains himself and stays away from evil. And the Holy Quran is filled up with what we will get for taqwa. What will a person get when he has taqwa and piety? The Holy Quran is filled. Besides jannat and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلُّهُ مَخْرَجًا وَرَزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. A person who has taqwa and has piety, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him out from every difficulty. There will be an exit. There will be a solution for every difficulty that he has in this world. وَرَزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him rosy and sustenance from avenues that he cannot even fathom, that he cannot even imagine and think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. Person that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins and give him abundant rewards. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ يُسْرًا. Person that has taqwa and piety, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make all his matters easy in this dunya. So just through fasting, which is a springboard towards getting taqwa, we find the doors are open to a whole lot of good in this world and the hereafter. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. It's only the pious people that are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْهُ فُرْقَانًا. Person that has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him that capacity to distinguish between good and bad and advice and virtue. He has that capacity that is created within him if he has this taqwa. And so many other promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a person that has that piety. Alhamdulillah, the fasting has started and it's about seven, today is the seventh day of fasting. We should see what level of taqwa are we obtaining, or are we treading onto that part where we are getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we can find ourselves engaging more in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and find it easier to abstain from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us even more concessions, ayyamun ma'dudat. There's just a limited amount of days. And as I mentioned last Friday, every Ramadan we experience this, that it takes a bit long for Ramadan to come. But as soon as it comes, then very quickly the month of Ramadan leaves us and it's gone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here, it's a fixed amount of days, a limited amount of days, not many, very many days as well, so that this becomes even more lighter for us. We have to do this, carry out this task, but just for a few days. That in itself gives us concession, that in itself gives us relief. That in itself is a concession. That is only for a few days. It's not for a couple of months, etc. Just for a few days. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions more relaxations and concessions for those people amongst you that is sick, that are sick. And for those that are traveling on a journey, then fa'iddatu min ayyamin ukhar. Then you are excused from fasting. You have such a sickness that you feel that will aggravate your sicknesses. Fasting will aggravate your sicknesses, or it will not be possible for you to carry out the fast. Then it is permissible for you to fast for some other days. And the sickness is so chronic that you have no hope of recovery, then you can even give a ransom and not fast. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the obligation is there, but if there is such sickness that makes it difficult and hard for you to fast, and thereafter all you are on a journey, then it is permissible for you to fast some other days. And in the beginning, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتِيقُونَ وَفِدَّةٌ طَعَمُ مِسْكِينَ. That here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this was the initial order, that despite having the physical strength of fasting, in order to familiarize the people with fasting and to orientate them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given this relaxation in the beginning. You either fast or you give a ransom, or you give a ransom or you feed a poor person. This choice was there in the beginning. وَمَنْ تَتَوَّى خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرُ اللَّهِ. Whomsoever voluntarily fasts, then it is better for him. And wa antasumu khairul lakum in kuntum ta'alamun. Together with the relaxation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here an encouragement. It is better for you if you fast. If you fast, it is better for you if only you knew the great benefits of fasting. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the month of Ramadan. It is a unique month wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for the revelation of the Holy Quran. And again, thereafter, Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَسُمْ. Whomsoever witnesses the month of Ramadan, then he ought to fast. In other words, that choice that was there in the beginning, the relaxation of the choice of fasting, despite having the physical strength of fasting, that is abrogated by this verse, وَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَسُمْ. Whomsoever witnesses the month, then he ought to fast. But obviously the relaxation of when a person is sick and when a person is on a journey, that is mentioned again here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats that in order to clear any misconception that that relaxation still remains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter tells us, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ مَا عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes ease for you. He does not wish difficulty and hardship for you. Otherwise, taking full cognizance of our conditions, our weaknesses, etc., Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the order of fasting and all the relaxations and concessions I mentioned here, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to create ease for us and does not wish to make it difficult. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُعِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلِتُكْمِنُ الْعِدَّةَ. So that you complete the number. وَلَتُكْمِنُ عِدَّةَ وَلَتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you may be grateful and you glorify. And you mention the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of this hidayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And we should remember, every single action that you carry out in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from the tawfiq of Allah and from the hidayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His guidance. When the guidance is taken away, then we find a person cannot say one subhanallah, one alhamdulillah also, and cannot carry out any order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be ever conscious of this and express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, has given us the tawfiq to carry out the fasting, to carry out the taraweeh, and to appreciate the Mubarak month of Ramadan is only through your tawfiq and guidance, and is only through you and not from our doing. As long as the person acknowledges it at all times, inshallah, there is hope that he will prosper and he will go further in progress in the path of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with that, we find when you look at the fasting is very unique, and the reward of fasting also is unique according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In some hadiths, we understand that it is mentioned that fasting is for me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fasting is for me and I will give the reward of fasting. Not like other actions that the job is designated to the angels to stipulate or to give the reward of fasting. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself takes the responsibility of feeding repaying or remunerating and rewarding the fasting person. And some traditions, like we had mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that fasting is for me and I am the reward for that person that fasts. Can we imagine? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the reward for that person that fasts. If just this is there in front of our minds, in our minds at all times, then we can imagine the quality of the fast. We can imagine how much we will cherish this fast, how much we will yearn to fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes ours. And the only thing is, this fasting has to be like it is prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fasting that's prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only fasting, abstinence from eating and drinking and carnal desires. Yes, definitely this is the body. But the ruh and the soul of fasting is to abstain from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why some commentators extract this meaning from this very verse and say, Kutiba alaykumus siyam. The fasting has been prescribed upon you and upon your entire body, upon all the parts of your body, whether they are interior parts or exterior parts. All the parts of your body ought to be fasting. And how is that? The eyes should be fasting in this sense that it should abstain from looking towards evil. It should abstain from looking towards those areas that distract from the remembrance of Allah. Looking from those places that constitute a sin in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mouth should be fasting in this sense that not only they should be stopped from food going through or going past, but also a person should not speak those things that are evil, speak those things that constitute the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the ears should be abstaining from all those things, listening from all those things that constitute the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how these parts of the body are fasting. Similarly, the hands and the feet also should be fasting in this sense that you do not carry out any actions that are wherein there is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fifth thing, after looking after all the parts of the body, this is where we should stop and see and look at this, analyze this fast of ours. Is it only abstention from eating and drinking, or are we abstaining also? There is a difference now with our life between before Ramadan and now after Ramadan. We are abstaining from all these things, and we are fast is applied to our eyes, to our mouths, to our ears, etc., to our hands and our feet. Alhamdulillah, if that is done, then mashallah, we are progressing, and we will not fall under this hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "Rubba sa'imin laysa lahu min siyami illa al-ju." There are many that fast, but they obtain nothing from fasting except hunger. They obtain nothing from fasting except hunger. Commentators mention here, what this means is, either this person is fasting, abstaining from eating and drinking, from those things that are halal, but is perpetrating haram. He's backbiting, he's slandering, he's fighting, and he's using abusive language, he's hurting the feelings people around him, and doing so many things that are not permissible in Islam. So what happens here, then that fast brings him no reward in reality. It's only abstention from eating and drinking, and only hunger. Or sometimes he's fasting and engages in all forms of evil, all forms of disobedience, not only backbiting and slandering and abusing his tongue, but all the other forms of evil also he does and carries out, so he loses the reward of fasting. And the third explanation given here is that he fasts during the day, he abstains from eating and drinking those things that are halal, but when it comes to the time of iftar, then he eats those foods that are completely haram. And what happens? The reward of the fast is lost. So a person should abstain from fasting, from eating and drinking, and abstain from all those activities wherein there is a disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, the ulama mentioned, we should not even eat so much. We should not overeat at the time of iftar and the time of sehri. Why? The spirit of fasting will be lost. And together with that, a person should not be distracted. He should have the hope of acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the fear. Who is there that can stand up and say, my fast can match up the magnanimity and the greatness and grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? After all, we are human beings, and we have so many faults and weaknesses and shortcomings that we have. So a person should at all times should be concerned about the acceptance of his fast. This should be his concern after he carries out his fast. And thereafter, a person should not be distracted. For those people that are extremely religious and pious, their heart should not be distracted from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even for a moment and even for a second. Then when this continues, then we find great promises. When the fast goes in this way, then we find great promises in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a fasting person. One hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that a fasting person from my ummah has been given 5 special favors that were not given to the ummahs before me. And we should remember, in many instances, these favors are because of the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of being followers of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People have written complete books on the subject, Khasaisul Nabi, and those special characteristics that are exclusive to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is that? The first one is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the smell that comes out from the fasting person, the mouth of the fasting person, is more fragrant, is more better to me, more like to me than the fragrance of musk. We all know musk or musk is so sweet smelling and so liked and so desirable one and all. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that smell that emanates and comes out from the fasting person, that is better to me than musk. Commentators mention either it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us in the day of judgment with sweet smelling fragrances, or either it means that person will stand up as a distinguishing feature of this person who's fasting, the sweet smell of mush will come out of his mouth. But as Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi mentions the third opinion, which seems to be so much better. He says that no, while this person is in this world and he is fasting, and in the course of his fasting, that smell is coming out, which normally is not a pleasant smell, but because it is done in the course of the obedience of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's such a great link and bond between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes this very smell that is emanating here and now from the mouth of the fasting person more than mushk. because of him being beloved and so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, we learn in this hadith that the fish in the sea, also in the oceans, make dua and maghfirat for that person that is fasting. Now if you just sit and imagine the thousands of different types of species and the thousands of fish that are there, different sizes, all of them make istighfar for that person who is fasting. Why? Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somebody becomes beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces this in the skies, that so and so is my beloved, you also love him. Thereafter it's mentioned that the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like him and love him. And thereafter it's announced on the earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certain person is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything here, the entire creation begins to love that person. And when they begin to love that person, then they make dua for that person. And they make dua istighfar for that person. How fortunate is that person of the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala engages the other creation to make dua for his maghfirat. Some riwayats we understand that the angels of the arsh of Allah in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, their duties are cancelled and they're postponed of this month. That this month your duty is to say Ameen to the duas of the fasting person of the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such high ranking angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they say Ameen to our duas, can there be any doubt that this duas will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Thirdly, it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decorates a special garden every day in paradise and thereafter addresses it that soon my servants, my faithful servants will leave the dunya and come to you. Other words, when a guest is coming, there's great preparations made here. There's so much love from the side of Allah and compassion and kindness that because of this person being fasting and being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, special preparations are made for him in paradise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day a garden is decorated for that person. Similarly, for that person it is mentioned in order so that he fasts and this fast is not spoiled, we find that the evil-minded shayateen are chained in this Mubarak month of Ramadan so that they cannot whisper evil and spoil the fast of this person. This is a lengthy discussion. Some people say, if that is the case, then how is it you still see in the month of Ramadan people carrying out evil actions? There are two opinions. Some say that all the shayateen are not chained. And some say, no, all the shayateen are chained. But this person, because he's a habitual follower of shaitan, then he carries on with the job of shaitan even after the shaitan's whispers are not coming to him and the shaitan is not inspiring him to do evil, even then he continues to do evil. And some say because of the excessive sins that he carries out, then what happens? That this person's heart is blocked up and with all the sin, with all the darkness of sin, and this person makes no distinction between Ramadan and out of Ramadan and he carries out evil from his own side. And fifthly, it's mentioned that the first favor, special favor for this ummah is that they will be paid when they complete their duty. Companions ask, O Prophet of Allah, will this be on the night of Qadr? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, no, it's only proper and deserving that person who works and that person who carries out his duties, he's paid after his duties are over. That is the end of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives this person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully pays this person. But this is for who? For those people that carry out the fast in the true sense of the word. As I mentioned, the fast is abstention not only from eating and drinking, but abstention from all forms of disobedience and sin and evil. We should inspect and analyze our fast and see if our fast is going in that direction. It's going in that direction. Alhamdulillah, we are on the right cause. And inshallah, we have great hope for this mercy and these special favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that is not the case, then now we should re-examine our fast and try and rectify our fast and bring it like how it conforms to the order of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.